In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Christ today heals in a hidden place in Capernaum. The part that I want to focus on in the two miracles that we've heard is the first of the miracles, because that miracle itself, we can understand as an image, a story with stages that correspond to each and every one of us as we enter into a dialogue with our Lord. Because Christ takes these two blind men into a home, a certain home with him. So that's what I want to focus on. The scripture says it this way so that we have it fresh in our ears. When he entered the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" And they said to him, "Yes, Lord." Then he touched their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, be it done to you." And their eyes were opened. It's important to understand the mystical meaning of what we've just heard in the gospel. We can miss it because it's hidden, it's veiled in the meaning of the places that Matthew is careful to describe where Jesus is. He says that Jesus goes into Capernaum in the land of Naphtali and of Zebulun. Capernaum is the place where Christ made his earthly home. This is where he journeyed to and from. It was his home base, if you will, during his earthly active ministry. St. Gregory Palamas says that clearly this dwelling place, Capernaum, symbolized heaven as it bears within it the inhabitant of heaven, Christ himself. And Blessed Theophylact brings out this meaning of these three names, the two for the region and one for the city. Capernaum, the city, means a house of comfort and consolation, because Christ came down from heaven to make the Gentiles the house of the Comforter. Zebulun means nocturnal. Naphtalim means a broadening or a scattering. The life of the Gentiles, therefore, was both dark and broad, St. Theophylact says, for they were walking not the narrow way, but the way leading to destruction. Christ leaves his heavenly abode to become man and enter into the earth. He passes through the lands of darkness and of that scattering of his creatures. He goes through them into the city called Capernaum, that place of comfort and consolation that reflects his own heavenly homeland, and he makes that place his own. Here in this miracle, he goes even further into a private place, a hidden place, a home there in that city, where he addresses the great need of these two blind men. And there, he takes up the dialogue that we've just heard again for the second time, and he heals their blindness, giving them eyes where they had no eyes that could see. So these blind men, they stand, and what they did in their interaction with Christ, they stand as an allegory, as a type, as a symbol for us of the entering into our own abode, into the heart of each and every human being, since the heart is the place where Christ dwells. This interaction between the two blind men and Jesus takes a certain form that we should highlight. And it demonstrates something that happens in each and every one of our lives as we enter into this dialogue with Jesus Christ, our Lord. Jesus passes them by as they are crying aloud for mercy. He offers no immediate response. It's almost as if he is ignoring them. But the two blind men, they don't give up. They keep crying and they keep following him. Can you imagine the sight? Two blind men making their way, following the crowd, as Christ has what seems to be, physically it was so, his back to them. But his attention, and he knew who they were, he was drawing them into the place where they would be healed. So Christ goes into that home in Capernaum, into the quiet and private place, and the two men enter the home with him. They're still crying for mercy as they enter into that home. And only now, in the privacy of that home, does Christ turn to them and address them. And he gives them a test of their faith, an opportunity to proclaim what it is that they actually seek from him. Yes, they need his mercy. He's heard it over and over again. Son of David, have mercy on us. And Christ turns to them, he says, do you believe I am able to do this? Am I able to heal your sight? And they respond very simply, yes, Lord. That is all that they say to Christ. Yes, Lord, in response to his address. Their faith here has reached a stage where they're not simply honoring Christ, Jesus, as the Son of David, a good but imperfect proclamation of faith, and they give him the title of Lord, of ruler, of master. Their public confession at the question that Christ puts before them is a confirmation for themselves and for all of those few witnesses that are there in that quiet place that they know who Jesus is. And by that confession and by the proclamation of that title, Lord, that they are truly ones who believe in him. So now Christ touches their eyes and he says, be it according to your faith. That proclamation of him as Lord. Only then is their blindness healed and they have eyes to see. And he does another very curious thing. Two things kind of bookend this miracle. First, it seems like he turns his back to them. And lastly, he says, see that no one knows it. See that no one knows what I have done for you. And Matthew, particularly in his account that we've heard today, says, but they went away and spread his fame throughout all the district immediately, right? So were these ones who were disobedient people? St. Nikolai and other holy teachers say that this was not an act of disobedience on their part, but that their very bodies, the very fact of their healing, those who saw them, those who in the crowd heard them crying for mercy and witnessed their blindness, perhaps a little bit of their stumbling as they attempted to follow Christ into that home, that they, their very bodies and the very fact of their healing is the proclamation that spread the fame. They know what home he went into. They know who was there before them. They know that Jesus the Christ was their healer. So they weren't disobedient, but the very fact of their healing became the proclamation itself. So how does this apply to us? Because that's the whole point of an allegory or of a type or of reading the scriptures and seeing how does it apply to my own life. It's the allegory of Christ entering into our own heart, that Christ dwells in all of us baptized Christians, there in the place of the heart. We begin, just like they began, with the desire for healing, the crying out for Christ's mercy. This is the motivation that we need. This is the engine that drives all of our spiritual effort, all of our growth, the need and the recognition that we need healing, the need that we need God's mercy. We recognize this, that we need to be healed and become whole by him. So we speak, and we ask for healing with our sighs, with our cries to him. And the church gives us a beautiful way to articulate this. In every service, we cry multiple times, Lord, have mercy. And in our day-to-day life, we hear these words. Anyone somewhat familiar with Orthodoxy will know these words. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. This is the cry of these two blind men for us. When Christ appears, he may say nothing. We know that he is there, and his divine presence is with us, and there is hope, there is joy. But we need to follow him even when sometimes we don't hear the answer. Even while we're, you could say, still blind and not yet healed. We're still in our great need. We follow him. We go to the place that he is, into that quiet place of comfort and consolation, into that home. When we enter into that quiet place that is within us, that hidden place within us, that private place, where we can speak with him freely. The fathers call this place our heart. It is the center of the soul. Think of this as the home where Jesus is, the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth. It's there within you. In the heart is where the spiritual dialogue, like these two blind men had with God, happens. And by that divine dialogue, our spiritual blindness, our hidden sins, our unknown places, for ourselves at least, it's unknown, are filled with his uncreated light, with his grace. They're illumined. We know them. And Christ then can touch and heal them. We are healed, and our faith is made complete. This is an understanding. Perhaps it's a new understanding, a new lens of which to read this great miracle. So we can take up that very prayer in its explicitly Christian form for us that the church has given to us. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. Recognizing our need for healing, recognizing our need for mercy, make those words your own words. Then what happened to the two blind men can and will happen to you as long as you follow him. So how do we enter into that home, into that place of the heart? Some practicals. Set aside some time to go from your scattering in broadways, Zebulon and Naphtalim, leave the darkness of the world, pass through them, and enter into your own physical home. Perhaps some quiet place, some quiet room, some quiet time when there's not too much hustle and bustle about, and try to knock on that door, to follow Christ and make those words your own. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. Go to that place that Jesus has in the Capernaum home of your own heart. Jesus is there for all of you. There, enter that dialogue with him, seeking his mercy and his healing, proclaiming him as Lord. This won't happen all at once like it did for these two physically blind men, but to us who are spiritually blind in so many ways, Christ one by one will address where we need healing by this prayer, by this dedication of ourselves to follow him. But if we keep entering that home, over and over again, this is what the saints did. They kept entering that home, kept going away from the scattering and the darkness and recognizing the blindness of their own sins. And there they found healing. They found forgiveness by the cry that was spoken within their heart. And what is the last thing that happened to them? We do this work quietly, hiddenly, in the secret place of our heart and in of our home. But what was the last thing that happened with them? They were healed, and the secret was made manifest to all. St. Nikolai of Ohrid again says, what meekness and what wisdom. That Christ best knew that there is nothing hid which shall not be made manifest. That is what our Lord does. He works most often in those quiet ways within us. But his work becomes manifest because we are changed. The blind men, they weren't disobedient to Christ's command. Rather, their healing itself became their teaching, became their proclamation. not necessarily with their words, but with their very bodies and the very changed state of their life. They became the proclamation of God's glory manifested in the miracle. And the same thing can happen with us. We're changed. And those that knew us before Christ healed us, they can see the change. They notice it. Perhaps that will also be the proclamation of God's glory within us. So today I present this mystical, allegorical teaching, a way to read this story. And how does this apply to myself? Of course, we can marvel at it by just the fact of Christ healing two blind men, which is awesome in and of itself. But he does that each and every day with us. Where we follow him, we go into the home, go into that quiet place where his comfort and his consolation is there and the activity of the Holy Spirit is present. Take this up, my brothers and sisters. It's powerful. Reread the story with this in mind and ask the Lord to have mercy on you as I ask him to have mercy on all of you and on myself chiefly. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, for I am a sinner and in need of your great grace. Amen.